All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, time now for, in case we missed it, these are the things that, you know, are always on the rundown. We always want to get to it, but usually we push it because we carry the conversation over. We get you involved because we're not talking at you. We're talking with you. So a lot of times we open it up to the Hive. We want to get your thought, your feedback. So these are the stories where, in case we missed it, we want to get to now. How about Jarvis Landry signing with the Saints over the weekend? Pretty good receiver around Jameis Winston.
Don't like it because I had my eyes on him as a guy, a veteran receiver that Green Bay could go after. It makes the Saints very much a better team. And I think that with the receivers that they have now, adding Olave, it really the bigger question mark is Michael Thomas. Is he going to come back and he's going to be one of the guys that falls in and does what the rest of the team wants him to do and it just becomes one of the guys? Or is he going to be a problem child that still has animosity towards the organization?
That receiving core is
really good.
Low-key scary. Look, Michael Thomas coming back near the age of 30. I'm always worried about football players that haven't played a while, and they're getting older and older, obviously, aren't we all? But on paper, Thomas, Landry, and Olave, that has the makings of a really good receiving core. One of the things that nobody's talking about, Alvin Kamara punching a dude in Vegas.
I bring it up to Clarence. I bring it up to Saints fans.
Just you.
Yeah, it's like that hasn't been resolved yet.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
He could be the biggest monkey wrench in why the Saints are held back this season.
Jameis Winston, by the way, was talking about coming back and how he's ready to come back. He was on NFL Network. And just Jameis Winston, like, he was out with an injury. You know, sometimes when we miss the thing that we love, it gives us this newfound, you know, thought, this newfound philosophy and, you know, I think that's where Jameis Winston was at coming off the injury. He totally reinvented himself.
Today,
as a kid, my passion was always football, right? But being taken away from the game, I didn't realize that my passion was playing football.
You know, growing up as a kid, I always thought that my passion was radio. But now that I've, you know, stepped away from the mic over the weekend, I realize that my passion is talking to you
doing
on the radio. My passion
doing
radio. I always thought my passion was radio, but now I realize that it's doing radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
That caused Drew Brees. By the way, another under-the-radar moment, to mutually agree with NBC that you were done as a broadcaster.
Yeah.
To put innuendo out there on social media that you were considering a comeback. What is it? What's really behind this, and what are you really trying to do, Drew?
Drew Brees' tweet that you're talking about. Despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I'll let you know. A lot of people started having the conversation. Where's Drew Brees going? Is he coming back to the Saints? Is he going to be the quarterback of New Orleans? I couldn't take that tweet seriously.
I don't know what he was after. I don't know if he was doing it to, like, distract people from actually asking the question, what happened with NBC, which was the first thing that came to my mind. Was it, like, Brady's making more than me now and got a bigger deal? I didn't think he was awful. I thought he had a lot of room to improve, but I don't think he was bad like a lot of guys when they just are forced into the spotlight and say, here's a microphone, do broadcasting, when they don't realize that there's actually a science behind it. But I'm really curious as to why they mutually parted ways because they were
lousy.
I don't think he was lousy.
He was not good.
I think he was fine in the studio. I think he brought insight to the studio. I don't like him doing Notre Dame games and putting him completely in an outside element.
He was better in studio than he was on the games. I didn't think he was very good on the game. He was really bad on the games, to be honest with you. And Tom Brady, like, that was my immediate thought whenever Brees and NBC parting ways, whatever the case may be. My immediate thought was, Fox better hope that Tom Brady is in Drew Brees. Because Brady getting all that money, $37.5 million, there's no guarantee he's going to be good. In fact, more guys have been bad than they have been good. So, like Brady, the fact that he's getting $37.5 million, I could see it being a one and done just like Drew Brees.
First of all, he doesn't need money. But I think he has the potential to be actually make it broadcasting his career. But I think that just like anything else, like he has to realize what he did with football, that he's got to work at it to get better at it. And that could be dry runs and that could reps, that could be a lot of things. But maybe because he doesn't need the money, and he's just gotten out of a completely regimented career of football, maybe he should just step away for a while and figure out what he truly wants to do.
Yeah, I don't blame him for taking money, even if he has money. $37.5 million
well,
is still $37.5 million.
Go ahead, fire me, but still pay me because I signed a multi-year deal with NBC.
You're talking about Breeze now.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Brady.
Oh.
The Brady,
no, Brady's different.
Right. See, I don't think Brady's going to be very good.
I agree with you.
Like, the fact that the one thing that I look for the most with somebody who's, like, working on those games, play-by-play, color, I need energy. Like, I need somebody who's excited to be there. That's why I thought Tony Romo was going to be good. That's why I thought Sean McVay would be really good, because he's excited. He's somebody that has a lot of energy. Even Gruden has, like, that fire inside of him. Joe Montana didn't. He was terrible. Tom Brady, I don't think, does. Drew Brees didn't have that. And the list goes on and on.
But you know what I said about Tom Brady, too, that I fully believe is going to be a huge issue. He does not want to criticize anyone. He does not want to be critical. Yeah. He is worried what people say about him. He's constantly about his image. And I think he's going to have a real difficult time. Like, a lot of these guys that I've been bringing up lately seem to have a big issue with. Like, I'm going to ruffle KD's feelings if I go and say that he played awful in the playoffs or he couldn't handle the defense the Celtics were giving him. But that's the way Stephen A. thinks. That's the way I give Kendrick Perkins all the credit in the world, because he don't worry about that smoke that comes after the comment if he truly believes he's being honest. And I think that we see too many guys, J.J. Redick, Chris Paul's best friend. I mean, you know, so I'm sure he got texts right after he got into the back and forth with Pat Beverly, and then the next day he came back and tried to promote Chris Paul. I think you're either going to do it or you're not. And if you're in, then you've got to commit. And committing means you can't be Tom Brady there for the checks on the 1st and the 15th and all the popularity, but you can't not be critical and do your job to the best of your ability.
Yeah. See, I think you can get away with it better in a broadcasting during a game than you can, like, studio stuff. Because broadcasting during the game, you don't really have to say
you're calling what's happening in the game more so than you're being critical and deciphering what happened.
So I think you don't have to worry about that as much whenever you're working in the booth as opposed to working in a studio. I think Brady's going to have trouble with that part of it as well. But also just, like, the energy. He's so cool. He's so laid back. That's what makes Tom Brady Tom Brady. Same thing with Joe Montana. He was just so chill in the booth that, like, he was not very good. So I was shocked that they gave Brady all that money, and I could see it going the same route as the Drew Brees thing as well. How about Kevin Durant? You just brought up that name.
Yeah.
He told this to David Letterman during an interview recently.
To me, it clears the distractions out your brain a little bit, settles you down. It's like having a glass of wine.
Yeah. So did you smoke today?
Yeah.
And you're just fine?
I'm actually high right now.
There you go.
Letterman's laugh. I've missed that. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Schaefer in the band. Look, if it keeps him from having a burner account on Twitter and being hypersensitive and texting Stephen A. Smith when he's critical of him, maybe it's a good thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it seems to be that the more leagues and teams are getting more lenient about weed and more players are doing it, it's becoming more of like the norm. That no one has an issue with it. But I think that our people are going to lose their mind over the fact that he went out and said during his offseason that he said what he said to Letterman.
I don't think it matters at all. What's the difference between being high and being drunk?
No, but people are going to be critical of it.
Why?
What I mean.
Why?
Because there's people that are hypersensitive, calling it drug use, thinking that they rope it into the same category as really hard, devastating drugs that can kill you.
I think you're off base here.
Okay, that's fine.
I believe that it's become part of like just normal culture. That it's acceptable. Like we talk about Mike Tyson owning, you know, a cannabis ranch or whatever they're called, gardens. I don't even know. But like this was the first time that I heard about it. Like when did KD tell this to Letterman?
2 days ago.
2 days ago?
A day or two.
First I heard of it.
Oh, there
first
was,
I
was,
heard of it.
It was all over social media the day it happened.
Really? Yeah. I missed it.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying, look, I think that in the perfect world, look, especially with the way football players have said from recovery to all the different issues it can help deal with in terms of the gruel and the grind of an NFL player and the physical punishment and everything like that. That's why even the NFL had to open their eyes and look at, could it be looked at as a beneficial thing instead of always being viewed as a negative. But there are people, just like we know with any topic that comes up, there's a segment of the population that just hears marijuana, thinks drugs, thinks bad, and they're going to react.
Man, I feel like people have evolved.
I wish you were more accurate, ever more right about that.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Settle the debate. 713-780-3776. Ian Rappaport was on with Pat McAfee the other day. They always come together. They love to have a couple of minutes with one another. Rappaport gets on that show all the time, as does Aaron Rodgers, your guy. Mm-hmm. Rappaport telling McAfee that Baker Mayfield will be at Browns camp, that he has just too much money to lose, he's making a significant amount of money, that he's going to be there at Browns camp. And we've also heard some circulation about, like, the Deshaun Watson rumors. He's been in Houston meeting with the NFL investigators. It seems like they might be coming close to some sort of suspension for Deshaun Watson. I've heard how they want to crack down. I've heard how it might just be precedence with, like, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games. Who knows what it's going to be with Deshaun Watson. If I'm Baker Mayfield, and I know that I don't have a starting job anywhere else in the NFL, you know that Deshaun Watson's going to be suspended a certain period of games. This is probably your only guaranteed shot to start, let's just say, 4 games in the NFL without an injury occurring to another team that you go to. And he needs to prove it. Like, this is a prove-it year for Baker Mayfield. I'm playing nice with Cleveland. I'm doing whatever I can to be a quality teammate, and I'm trying to ball out in those 4 games that I play.
I mean, look, I think that the opportunities are drying up. But I think that you got to eat a whole lot of crow, right? You got to go back tail between your legs because of the fact that you said it was time to move on. You wanted to be moved. You wanted out. Then right after the Watson deal was made, and you also firmly believed, even from the one podcast that he did, that he thought Seattle was going to be a destination, but that there were other destinations he could land on. But to your point, the biggest thing that he has to deal with is his future employment,
right?
Like he is. We talk about Carlos Correa proving it in a prove it year. Baker Mayfield had to. Not only is it a prove it year, but he's got to have a place to actually try and prove it. So I could see it happening, but a whole lot of fences have to be mended before it can happen, because I'm sure the Browns didn't like the way he handled a lot of things. He didn't like how the Browns handled a lot of things. They obviously traded to get his replacement already. So there's a lot of damage control that has to be done before that's a possibility. But from his camp, he should consider it.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Who finished their season better? Lamont tweeted us this the other day, and I think it's a good conversation to have. Who finished their season better, Davis Mills or Jalen Green? That conversation next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. But first, I want to tell you about Gentle Bend. Look, you know I like a good drink at the end of the day. Today I'm going to be traveling, so once I get to the hotel, you know I got a little bit of Gentle Bend ready to go. Whether it's the vodka, whether it's the gin, I don't care because both are so good. They're both part of the rotation for me, and you know by now, Gentle Bend Spirits, local Texas brand, winning me over the last few months. Gentle Bend is a line of ultra-premium Texas spirits. They use their state-of-the-art, innovative Percedo craft technology that's better in taste, it's better in aroma, it's better in purity than your favorite brand of vodka or gin. Gentle Bend Vodka and Gin is unrivaled. Look, I know that you have your favorite. I know that you have your go-to. Sometimes you're even looking for something new. Give Gentle Bend Spirits a shot. Look, I was the same way. I like to dabble in a variety of different areas. I had my favorite brand of vodka. I had my favorite brand of gin. And then Ricky Ford, the founder owner of Gentle Bend Spirits, A&M Class of 85, by the way, he had me out to the tasting room in Alvin. He said, try my blind taste test. Shot of my stuff, shot of another very popular Texas vodka. Be very honest with me, because I usually know the answer that I'm going to hear. So I tried it. I listened to Ricky. I tried both of them. And I love the Gentle Bend Spirits. It was the obvious answer. If you do it, you're going to taste a huge difference just like me. You're going to be like me. Put away your old favorite for your new favorite. I'm not going back, and neither will you. I'm a Gentle Bend man now. You can find Gentle Bend Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs. If they're all out, they're sold out, tell them to restock their shelves. You can also get them online, gentlebend.com, or if you're in the Alvin area, head over to the tasting room there as well. Gentle Bend, the union of tradition and invention.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Lamont asked us this on Twitter. Who finished their season better, Davis Mills or Jalen Green? Two of the up-and-coming stars in the Houston
sports
scene.
Did we answer this already?
On Twitter.
I feel like we answered it on the air.
Do the show.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, you know what? Sometimes, Jeremy, I enjoy the show, and sometimes I really like I realized that I enjoyed doing the show.
Did the thoughts become blurry on when you had this conversation based on some stuff that Kevin Durant might be using?
Maybe it was the weed. I don't know. Look, I answered it with Lamont. I think the way Green finished was stronger than the way Mills finished. Not to take anything away from Mills,
because they both finished strong, right? Yeah, you can say that just to get that out of the way.
The way you and I were talking during the season, and I was highly critical of Jalen Green stopping believing the hype train and all the marketing stuff and all the, you know, he could be the next Kobe, he could win a dunk championship, he's going to be the next superstar. And just focus on your craft, work on your ball handling, decision making, the shots you were taking. When you're missing shots on those one-on-two step back threes, go to the basket, get fouled, get to the free throw line, make your teammates better. He did all those things. And it's easier to evaluate in the game of basketball because it's easier to find success. Most people just look at a box score, and if he had points, they go, man, he was balling. But they can also look and quickly detail, hey, he's making progress because his rebounds and assists are up, his turnovers are down, his plus minus is this. So you can kind of get a quicker evaluation. With Davis Mills, you're talking about progressions. You're talking about, you know, looking off receivers. You're talking about matriculating the ball down the field and scoring drives that are consistent as opposed to turnovers. But I think both finished the year strong. I think both could, you know, I think that between the two, one still has the ability to be the franchise player at a very, very high level for the Rockets. The other one, we're still evaluating as to what his role will be in a franchise as a player with the Texans.
Yeah. See, I think the answer to this question might be which team you like the most. And like, I think so. Yeah. Because I feel like if you're pro Texans, you're going to say Davis Mills without even like really evaluating the numbers. I think if you look pro, like if you're more pro Rockets and anti Texans, because there's a lot of anti Texans fans currently in the city.
Still?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's up a tick. Like if you were taking the approval rating of the Houston Texans in this city, it was rock bottom, year and a half ago. I think it's moved up, but it's still, if you look at the course of the approval rating in the Houston Texans history, it's still very low. Let's be honest. Let's have that honest conversation. It's also not as high as it's ever been for the Rockets. Like, it's also pretty low in that regard as well. But I feel like more people are pro-Rockets than pro-Texans, but Texans probably have a bigger scale of fans. And I also feel like people just absolutely love Davis Mills. Like, you have your Mills truthers. See,
but I think it's all
Green
about...
Green does, too.
But I think it's about analyzing things realistically as opposed to homeristically, right? If you're a homer, like you're talking about, then it's the red Kool-Aid Rockets fans and the blue Kool-Aid Texans fans that no matter what you say, they're Pat Beverly, by the way. They're going to push back and tell you James Harden is a supermax player. But when you look at it realistically, you can be a fan, but you can be level-headed enough to realize, and there's differences. You got a guy that's number two pick in the draft in the first round with all the highest expectations on the planet. Get a guy that was drafted in the third round that some say would have had a higher draft value and place had he waited a year, but he didn't. And so now you're looking at a guy that's developed enough so that people can realistically be optimistic about him getting a chance to be your starter for a full season. Jalen Green was a starter from day one. Jalen Green was a guy that was expected to get better and better. And Jalen Green is a guy that has the whole franchise sitting on his shoulders. I don't think we're there yet with Davis Mills.
Don't you have to eliminate that conversation though? If you're looking about if the question is how did they finish their season and which one finished the season the best? Don't you have to eliminate where they were selected in the draft? Don't you have to eliminate they started their season?
You should, but again, that's being if you're realistically evaluating. I'm just telling you and answering to the comment you had just made and kind of elaborating. Those people that whether they love the Texans no matter what or they don't like them, they already have preconceived notions that are going to cloud their judgment. So in looking at it, I think people look at it and say, I have higher expectations, and so I demand more from a Jalen Green than I do for a Davis Mills.
That's what you're saying. So it's more expectation.
Yeah,
expectation to how the season's coming to an end. So you think it's Jalen Green, though?
I do.
Yeah. Todd the Show texting in. Texans are not exciting. Rockets have exciting moments. The Texans don't have a marketable player. Rockets have several. I think the Rockets are like a year ahead of where the Texans are in the rebuild in terms of excitement and in terms of marketability. But does that influence the answer to the question about Jalen Green having a better
it's about individuals.
The year versus
it's not
Davis
about
Mills.
The team.
I think both of them had very good finishes to their year. I think it's a hard question to answer. I think it's actually – I think somebody wins by a neck – but I give it to Jalen Green, to be completely honest.
Well, if it's a neck, then Davis Mills wins hands down.
No, Jalen Green gives it for me.
Hands down, necks up, brother.
Like, people were saying that there wasn't a whole lot of defense. There's never a whole lot of defense in the NBA, especially in the regular season. But Jalen averaged 28 points per game. The three-point shooting, which is something that I was watching Jalen Green all year long to see his development and his progression in that area, he shot 43% his last nine games. I don't think he's going to be an over 40% three-point shooter over the course of his career, but if he can shoot it at a 35% clip, he's going to be a good basketball player.
Well, I think that's the thing. We already know and assume the assumption's made. He's going to be a good basketball player no matter what. But the expectation is that he's going to be a great basketball player that's going to be your franchise for the several years to come. I don't think you say that same thing about Dave. You're hoping Davis Mills can evolve into something like that. But even as we've said, the ceiling for a guy, if he does pan out, is a middle-of-the-pack quarterback, top 15, top 10-ish. With Jalen Green, whether it's the comparisons or the expectations, you're talking about a perennial all-star that could be trying to get an MVP trophy that's going to lead your team to the promised land at some point.
Yeah. See, Davis Mills, I think, had a very good end of the year, better than, like, the expectations, especially after the first stint of starts, when he had that first stretch of starts where he showed some flashes but was overall bad. And he had me at a point where I was like, I don't think this guy's ever going to be an NFL starter. He proved me wrong over the course of his last five starts. I thought he finished the year pretty well, but not as good as at the Jalen Green level. Both very good. Jalen Green wins it by a neck. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. The ceiling is the roof. Let me go a step further with this question. Who are you more excited to see in their sophomore year, Jalen Green or Davis Mills?
I think, that's a good question. I think because of the fact that you still have high expectations and you want to see Jalen Green take the next step up. You're anxious to see Davis Mills because you want to see what he can be. But I think that it's more definitive with Mills than it is for Green, right? It's what he's adding to his game in year two to continue to make him great, as opposed to how great can Davis Mills be and can he be a guy that is the franchise quarterback in the NFL. There's more question marks that need to be answered, and that's the anticipation with a Davis Mills, than there is the expectations that it's just the next level of solid play you're going to see. What's he going to do next to take it to the next level for Jalen Green?
Yeah, I'm a Jalen Green, because I think Jalen Green has a chance to be a bona fide superstar. I still have serious doubts if Davis Mills can be a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. 8788 asking us, would you rather have Jalen Hurts or Davis Mills? Give me Davis Mills.
No
I'll
question.
Be honest with you.
Yeah,
give me Davis Mills.
You know I'm on record over and over again. I think Jalen Hurts is a football player in the NFL. I don't think he's a starting quarterback.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Who do you think finished their season better, Davis Mills or Jalen Green? Who are you more excited to see in their sophomore year, Jalen Green or Davis Mills? 713-780-ESPN. When we come back, I want to take a look at the sophomore quarterbacks a little bit further and who is most likely to take a leap of those sophomore quarterbacks. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. But first, a moment on HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. I'm about to get called down to HR with dealing with these Twitchers, twitch.tv/ESPN975. But as you know, Cougar owned by Mike Holly, members of the Cougar 100 for the eighth year in a row. Mike Holly used to protect Heisman Trophy winners. Now he's ready to protect you and your business. Let HR&P help you, whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. HR&P can help in any or all of those facets. There's no boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how big, doesn't matter how small. HR&P will completely customize a plan for what you and your business needs. If you have a problem or an issue, or if you just want to take a little bit off your plate, maybe you want to take a lot off your plate, HRMP will find a way to help you and your business that makes sense. They do it in a way that is unique. It's awesome. Technology meeting service. They have the best technology. You'll love that, but you'll also love their service. You'll fall in love with it. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll be talking to some stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who is familiar with your business and knows your business needs. Look, I'm an employee of an employer that uses HRMP. Checks are always on time. Anytime I have a question about off days, holidays, change of life, insurance stuff, all that stuff you don't want to deal with, I just ask HRMP. They give me an answer like that. I love the customer support of HRMP. So if you're an employer, take care of your employees by helping them out with HRMP. Give them a call, 281-880-6525, 281-880-6525, and let HRMP customize a plan for you or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Breaking Jake Odorizzi news. It was just a scare, apparently. Talking to the media, Chandler Rome tweeting this out. Jake Odorizzi said he feared he ruptured his Achilles tendon. The entire city did. But an MRI revealed only some strains and sprains of other ligaments around the ankle foot. Odorizzi will return this season and said this is best case scenario. A timeline is unclear, but Odorizzi is off crutches. Odorizzi said he felt a large pop when he came off the mound. He said the stretcher made it look worse than it was.
Well, that's a huge relief. And maybe for once, the Astros PR department and medical staff have turned a corner to be more honest in terms of their evaluation.
I mean, did they? They were took two, like 2 days.
This still wasn't perfect, right? But let's call it progress. But look, from an Astros fan perspective, this is great news.
Oh, because, sure.
Because look, I used to have a ton of calf injuries, especially playing basketball.
Did you ever get stretchered off with a seatbelt buckling you in?
Never needed a stretcher. But the pop is real. Like people compare it to like being hit in the back of the leg with a baseball bat when it truly goes. Like you can tweak it. That's also considered a tear, but it's minor, right? And it's the difference between Altuve pulling up when he could feel it coming on and preventing a full out tear of the hamstring, right? Which would be popping your hamstring. So I'm glad to hear these things. I don't understand why it took so long and why we had to hear it from the horse's mouth. But I just am very, very hopeful that we will see him again sooner rather than later and that this truly is the case because there is legitimacy to what he's saying based on the fact that if you popped a calf, that's exactly how it feels and what happens, and then it takes about 6 weeks to 2 months for you to get back.
Yeah. Look, first and foremost, it's good news. Good news that Overeasy at some point will be back this season, that he's off the crutches, I think, is good news as well. Very interesting the way that, you know, they handled it. Dusty Baker, like we were asking too, like Dusty Baker mentioned after the game that, you know, was in better spirits after the game than he was when he got carted off the Fenway mound, said the next day that they think that it could have been better results than what it looked like. And then the Astros allowing Jake Odorizzi to release the information today, talking to the media. I think he was embarrassed. I think he was embarrassed by getting stretchered off in a cart, in a gurney, to the medical room there at Fenway Park. And I think that's why they let him address all of the questions and all of the answers, because he wanted to get out ahead of it. I think he was embarrassed that he got carted off.
I could see why.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you can go back to Paul Pierce, whether he had an injury or not, when he was carted off. And the story that Lance was telling this morning, that he actually pooped himself, and that's why he was carted off before he came back. But you know what? There are all the... I could see him being embarrassed.
I think he was.
But I think the Astros should be embarrassed by they handle all these situations. The fact that, look, I can tell you that I'm obviously not a player for a team, but if I go to get an MRI, especially if I go and I get an MRI from one of the team doctors, I'm going to get results of said MRI within a couple of hours. It's not going to take me days. And the fact that we're waiting and everybody and some Astros fans are like literally on the edge of their seat to try and determine how serious this injury is and what are the chances of him coming back this year. And the fact that you're taking days to give us the response to what happened and what the MRI says, it's not going to lie to you. It's not rocket science to decipher.
The way that the Astros handle the injuries is not ideal. Everything is discomfort, the nasty D word. I don't know if they got it wrong in this situation. Like, they wanted to take care of Odorizzi here, right? Like, they wanted Odorizzi to be able to answer all the questions. They wanted Odorizzi, like, he felt a pop. He was scared that he tore his Achilles. He got carted off. So what? But they wanted him to be able to answer the question. So I think they might have done right by Odorizzi with this one. But overall, for the Astros, handling injuries is kind of embarrassing.
Okay, but even when you say that, Jeremy, the first thing I go to is exactly how I defined it the other day. If he has lower leg discomfort, then he's Altuve after tweaking his hamstring, and he's gingerly going back to the dugout on his own power, and he's being helped down the stairs, and he's going right to the locker room, right? But to see what we saw.
Yeah, I thought he tore his Achilles. I'm not going to lie.
I certainly did, too. And Lisa and I were watching it. We rewound it several times. I'm like, I'm literally looking for the Achilles to roll up the back of his leg like we've seen with multiple guys that what's the linebacker from Alabama from the Texans got rid of? He was with the Eagles when he sued NRG.
D'Amico Ryans?
D'Amico Ryans. You could see it on the replay roll up. Yeah. You could see Kevin Durant when he did it on the court roll up. So I rewound it a couple times looking for the roll up going, man, the way he reacted and how he knew it instantaneously and there was no contact or like twisting of the leg just told me in the back of my mind, he tore his Achilles.
Yeah, and you couldn't see with the baseball pants.
That's not kind of
baggy. It's kind of baggy. Like NBA, you can see, you know, there's no pants.
True.
They're wearing shorts.
Unless you're Walker Buehler.
But that's a different sport.
I'm saying,
pants. No, I agree. Like football, it's very easy to tell because it's a sock.
True.
NBA, they're not wearing any sort of pants, so you can just see the skin. Whereas Jake Overeasy is wearing the baseball pants. You couldn't see the roll up, but you wouldn't be able to see the roll up even if the roll up happened of the torn Achilles. Good news though, Jake Odorizzi dodging major injury, so he'll be back at some point this year. That's good for the Astros. You keep that depth in the pitching rotation. It's good for Jake Odorizzi, who was pitching very well. So overall, very good news after it looked like Jake Odorizzi was lost for the year when he was making that start at Fenway on Monday. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Chandler Rome tweeted out the Astros lineup, but Dusty Baker doing Dusty Baker things today. Guess which Astro has the day off today, which I'm okay with days off.
Kyle Tucker.
No. I know why he went there.
He is the hottest guy on the planet for the Astros. He has to have the day off.
Two home runs, double dong day usually leads to a day off for Dusty Baker, but Tucker's in the lineup today, batting six, so okay. He's there. It's a regular.
Jeremy Pena. Again.
Jeremy Pena's in the starting lineup. That's good. Playing back-to-back days. Very encouraging. Coming off the knee discomfort. That's very good. Not Jeremy Pena.
You want me to just keep guessing?
Yeah. I want you to keep guessing.
Altuve.
No, Altuve's in the lineup playing second base.
Yuli Gurriel.
Yuli's in the lineup playing first base.
I'm done with
fifth.
This game.
Come on, keep going.
Michael Brantley.
No, he's in the lineup batting second.
Jordan Alvarez.
Nope, he's in the DH spot.
Maldonado.
No, he's catching, batting ninth. No, there's one that you haven't named.
Chaz McCormick.
No.
Jose Siri.
No, McCormick's playing center field batting seventh. You've missed the very obvious one. He hasn't been hitting all that well. He misplayed a ball the other day as well on the infield.
Alex Bregman
has the day off.
Well, he had a tough night in the infield last night.
He had a tough night on Monday.
Both last night, too.
I didn't have a chance. I watched the condensed game this morning. I was broadcasting the final game of the Silver Glove Series last night, so I didn't have a chance to watch it. I watched the condensed game, so I didn't see it as closely as you saw. What happened with Breggy yesterday?
Blummer tried to say that it was a bad infield in Fenway that was possibly responsible, but there was a routine ground ball with the shift on where he was in the shortstop position. And he just let it play him instead of playing it with the glove, and it crawled up, it creeped up his wrist, and he had to eat it, and it was an infield single. But you know what? I'm never going to not trust Alex Bregman defensively. Everybody goes through some struggles from time to time. Even the foul ball the other night in the wind, last night down the third baseline?
Oh, yeah, it came back.
Woo, baby. But thank goodness he made the catch.
So Dusty dusting isn't so much that Bregman has the day off, and they have a tough turnaround, too. They're playing an hour earlier than normal. It's a 5 central start, I believe. So they have the play of the night game. It's still a little hour early, but it's still at night. And then they open a series at home tomorrow. So you would figure that there would be a guy getting a day off. And with Bregman's not hitting for the average. Bregman would like to hit four, and I think he is going to get better. Although I should play the Branham foot and mouth and say that Bregman's washed
curse
so he
him.
Can get hot.
Yeah,
I should curse him. But
we are difference makers, both good and bad,
Odorizzi,
with this show, with
Yuli,
what we say and do.
Yeah, we get the bounce back from players. There's no doubt about it. But Bregman sitting out, Bregman getting the day off, that's not the Dusty doing the Dusty. Dusty doing the Dusty is the old trick where the guy that fills in for the guy who's getting the day off, you're just going to insert him into his spot in the batting order. Aledmys Diaz is in the three spot today for the Houston Astros, hitting behind Altuve Brantley, whereas you have Yordan Gurriel Tucker batting 4-5-6. So Diaz in the three hole, Tucker in the six hole.
Because that makes doing perfect Dusty. Sense to someone somewhere yep. named Dusty. I've given up on trying to figure out the thought process.
It's the old school where if you get the day off, you just take his spot in the batting order. I don't want to move it because I want the guys comfortable in their spots
Yuli's
in the order.
Yuli's heating up. Tucker, of all people, with two bombs and is the guy that basically carried you last night. You don't think he'd be better in the three-hole today?
Absolutely. You know okay. my feel yep. on that. I would change my lineup every single day. But Dusty's old school, and Dusty's got the old school thought where if you're filling in for a guy, that guy has his spot in the batting order, and you're just going to insert into that spot in the batting order, and everybody else is going to stay there at their own spots because that's the way we do it.
I hate it.
Dusty Baker had a funny story yesterday talking about how his own people that he would give tickets to would boo him whenever he would go to San Diego. It was pretty funny. 713-780-ESPN. How do you feel about the Jake Overeasy news? On the injured list, we know, but did not pop the Achilles. Just some sprains, just some sprained calf, basically, for Jake Odorizzi. Good news for the Houston Astros. Your thoughts on it, and your thoughts, Diaz in the three hole, taking over the spot of Bregman. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you again about Doc Linville. Go to 975hair.com, people, because Doc's a plastic surgeon. He does a ton of work for a lot of people. But I'll tell you what he's done that's been a huge success at this station alone. It's the NeoGraft procedure because of the fact that it works, because of the fact you get results, because of the fact that the numbers speak volumes in terms of a 95%+ success rate on the follicles that are moved from places on your head where you have a ton of hair to places on your head where you don't, and you can reap the benefits. You can see the hair growing. You can get better coverage. You can have an overall better appearance and feel so much better about yourself on a daily basis. Doc brought it to me. I didn't know what to expect. When he explained the process, I asked the questions, and he gave me the answers. It was a slam dunk. I was going to do this, and boy, am I glad I did. Because I'm a little over 7 months in, and I'm telling you, the fact that all the hair is there, it continues to grow. I've got my forehead back instead of an 8-head. I'm loving all of it. And the fact is, it all goes to Doc Linville. Credit to him and his staff because of what they do. Check out 975hair.com, like I told you, because you can get a free, no-obligation consultation with Doc and his staff that otherwise costs $150. So you're already saving money while you can get all the information you need. Ask all the tough questions. Figure out everything from financing to the procedure itself to that success rate I was talking about, and you'll find out if it's right for you. If it is and you go through with it, you will be glad you did because, like I said, the success rate makes it all worth it. That's why I recommend to everybody to go see Doc Linville at 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer BK hanging out with us. You can listen to him on the Wheelhouse 3-7, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. No Aggie basketball today. We were talking earlier.
That hurts.
Why?
No need to bring that up.
Why not?
There's no need to remind me.
College
that
basketball
to work.
Is like 27 weeks away.
No, wait hours. A minute. Because you do this all the time. I'm sorry, Branham. I've got to take issue with it.
Do what all the time?
You always look for the out and celebrate and publicize like when you don't have to work a full show.
Yeah.
No one asked you to move from Austin. You came here for the opportunity, and I think you're fitting in quite nicely. Why the hell do you not want to work? I get the two guys you're with are schleps, but other than that, I mean, love thy people and just have fun doing what you do.
4 hours is a long time, Joel. That fourth
three
hour.
Three guys is a lot of people, BK.
Three guys is a lot of people.
Just saying.
It is, but 4 hours is a long time, man. You know how hard of a day's work that is?
Yeah.
4 hours?
It's difficult.
Man.
It is a difficult
thing
to do.
Could be cutting lawns,
couldn't
washing
imagine,
cars.
Couldn't imagine doing anything more
electrical
than
4 hours. Work. Well, let's not go that far.
No.
BK's your electrician. You trusted him?
Somebody would die.
Not even your exterminator.
Somebody brought up, I forget who brought this up, but they were talking about who had more drip between you and Fairtech Jake.
Well, you already excluded Cody.
Cody wasn't involved in the conversation. Who brought that up, Brendan?
Somebody brought up the fact
who had more fashion. Because we were talking about what Patrick Beverly was wearing on Get Up, whatever the ESPN car wash thing.
Misremembering the conversation.
No, I'm not. I think I'm not. We were talking about Patrick Beverly wearing his TJ Maxx polo, and we said which one of the two between BK and Fairtag Jake would be more likely to shop at TJ Maxx, which tells you that that's anti-drip.
No. You're misremembering. You brought to the attention of the to us when I said Pat Bev looks like he's wearing the same golf shirt you complimented Jake for wearing a week ago, and you said, but BK says he shops at TJ Maxx.
No, I didn't say that. I did not say that BK shops at TJ Maxx. I think somebody on the Twitch said that BK looks like he shops at TJ Maxx.
Oh.
I did not say that, and then I asked the question.
God, thank God it's you
killing
Twitch.
I asked the question. Maybe you guys weren't listening to me, which par for the course. I said, who has more style, BK or Fairtag Jake?
I appreciate the fact that you guys are so enamored by my looks. That does mean a lot.
Well, halfway. Most of it was Fairtag Jake.
And look, it's in my religion to find a good deal, to get some good value. So
well,
I am a
fan card you're gonna play.
Of TJ Maxx and Marshalls and Ross Dress for Less. I like all of those places. I'll do some shopping elsewhere as well, but I'm not anti-discount store.
So do you think you have more style than Jake?
Is the Pope Catholic?
Do you save shirts because there's nothing wrong with them for extended periods of time, regardless of whether certain things about the shirt may have gone out of style? Charlie Palillo had a closet full of any given to him golf shirt or T-shirt,
okay,
regardless of the bowl game or other event, and regardless of whether it was outdated or not, simply because it was still in good condition.
I'll keep some of those shirts. I won't wear them out in public. Like, I'll wear them around the house. I'm doing chores, getting stuff done, but I'm not going to wear them out in public.
So if Nike quit putting the swoosh on the neckline of shirts in 2018, it wouldn't preclude you from still donning such shirt to clean the house?
No.
Okay.
I don't think it would. But yeah, more drip than Jake, that's easy.
Yeah, my answer was you, to be fair.
Aspect of it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
A newborn baby coming out with no clothes has more drip than Jake. It's got more style. I mean, we're talking about a guy who a couple of weeks ago showed up in a polo and basketball shorts. Can't do that.
You guys get mad at me for...
Well, you're not wearing a polo and basketball.
Was he playing tennis before or after the show?
He was not.
I mean, that's okay if you're playing tennis, I think.
Yeah, he's not playing tennis.
Jake doesn't do a whole lot of tennis playing?
You don't play tennis in basketball shorts. They're called basketball shorts for a reason.
What do you play tennis in?
Like, more like a tennis short or a golf short.
Nah. If you're just a normal hack that's just going out to play tennis for, like, fun, for exercise, for a few thoughtless steps, like, yeah, you wear basketball shorts.
You can.
Basketball. I wouldn't wear a polo, though. I'd probably wear a T-shirt. No. Yeah, the polo. Yeah,
I thought you were going sleeveless.
Yeah, I would go Raphael Nadal.
Oh,
I'd go
Raphael Nadal. Same difference.
Just ripped, as you know I am.
Butt wedgie between every point.
Sure.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he did that.
Oh, man.
I did not pay that close of attention.
You don't
either.
Have to pay close attention. You just have to watch one Rafael Nadal point, and you'll see it.
BK enlightened us when dudes are picking stuff out of their butts.
Yeah, man.
How do you feel about the Rockets getting number three?
That's the type of scouting I do. I feel good about it. Look, it's a three-man draft, and they didn't technically win the lottery, but ending up with a top three pick feels like a win. And they actually had better odds to be picking fourth or fifth than they did picking in the top three. So, obviously, would have liked one or two, but you'll take three in what appears to be a three-man draft. And I know Joel has the utmost confidence in his boy Rafael Stone to get this right.
I love
carry
three.
On, boys.
I love three. Blankers didn't like the idea of three. I thought three was the perfect spot.
Because you're not making a choice.
Yeah.
You're taking who's left.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is, right? Less pressure on the Rockets, but, Rafael Stone, unless he picks somebody outside of the big three, is not going to be criticized on draft day, which it's hard to really gauge how good of a job he did because he's just going to...
Whether you like him or not, as I told Jeremy, he got job security for the next 5 to 7 years because he can pass it off by going, I didn't have my choice of any of the guys in the top three. I had to take what was left, so it's not my fault.
Look, whether it's fair or not, let's say the Rockets end up with Banchero out of Duke and Jaden Ivey or Shaedon Sharpe or somebody who goes a couple of picks after Banchero turns out to be a stud, then people are going to hold that against Stone. That's just how it works. So right now it seems like he is an easy decision to make, but man, down the road, if he misses this, if the guys who go 4, 5, and 6 are better than the guy they take at 3, then I think people will
hold it. But no one has anything to create. I mean, he killed the Westbrook deal. He absolutely slayed the Harden deal. He did so many good things already that there's no way anybody would face any kind of Yeah, Brandon, what was your next question?
I didn't mind the Harden trade. I didn't love the Westbrook trade, but
how'd Spencer Dinwiddie look for the Mavs?
Pretty good.
Yeah, but I mean, how's he gonna look for the Rockets?
Well, when you added him to LeVert and Jared Allen and three number ones, I think he'd looked all right.
Playoff team?
Yeah.
I mean,
with what they still had on the roster,
I feel like that's a core of basketball purgatory. Like, I don't think that they brought back a whole lot of NBA talent.
The fairest argument you can give me that I at least will acknowledge is that you probably wouldn't have had Jalen Green.
Right.
Because of it.
Yeah,
that is totally fair.
That's it.
It was a tanking move, but it was a tanking move, and I felt like they should have been tanking.
But when the centerpiece of the deal ends up being Kelly Olynyk at the end of the day.
That's not the centerpiece of the deal.
Yes, it was. That's how it ended up. That's what you got for him.
But the centerpiece of the deal is going to be one of the picks that you make.
Not in the 20s. The pick you made was with your own.
Whoever you get at 17 this year is going to be a better piece than Kelly Olynyk.
But I'm just saying, but that's who you ended up with. Not Victor Oladipo, not any of the guys I mentioned. That's who you ended up with. The centerpiece was Kelly Olynyk for a rental until he moved on.
Collect draft picks, baby. That's where I stand when it comes to the Houston Rockets, and I love pick number three. BK.
Yes, sir.
You like number three. How about the Davis Mills or Jalen Green? Which of the two do you think had the better end of the season?
Jalen Green, and I'm more optimistic about the future of Jalen Green as well. Mm-hmm. Look, I liked what I saw from Davis Mills, 11 touchdowns to 3 interceptions in his final 6 starts. He clearly turned a corner. He clearly took a step, and I'm excited to see what he can do this year. But, man, with what Jalen Green did down the stretch, the fact that he was making the threes at the clip that he was towards the end of the season is impressive, because that was the biggest question with him coming out of school. Well, I don't know if we call it school. I guess high school.
G League school.
The school of hard knocks.
He was studying really hard out
G
there.
G League elite school.
With the G League Ignite program. But the fact that, like, the biggest weakness that this guy had, I don't want to say it's completely taken care of, but we saw signs of it getting fixed in the middle of his first year. I think that's a really, really good sign for the future of the Rockets. So I'll go with
that. And just the decision-making that I talked about.
Yeah,
instead of just settling for threes, attack the basket, get some easy buckets, go to the free throw line.
Dude, there aren't a lot of guys in the league. Sorry for calling you dude. There aren't a lot of guys in the league who have the athleticism that Jalen Green has. Like, I'm not saying he's one of the best players in the league.
That's very true.
I think he's a top 10 athlete in
Absolutely.
The NBA right now. So you got to take it.
Now he's got to get stronger. He's got to fill out. But yeah, just the hop and the first step he's got is better than most.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it, man. I think it's only going to get better.
My dude would have been better, because I heard you guys talking that day about the new hip terms instead of, like, dude, man, and all the other things.
Yeah.
And I was like, at the gym, you get a lot of my dude. That's my dude.
My dude.
Yep. What's up, my dude?
My dude.
What's up, my dude?
My guy.
Okay. Yeah, my guy and my dude.
Can I start calling you Joel, by the
no.
way?
Why would you ask that?
I was going to start doing it. I figured it'd be nicer for me to ask before I just started.
You're so polite to blankers. Why did you apologize for calling him a dude? Do you apologize to everybody you call a dude?
There are people in local media, by the way, that will lose their mind if you call them dude, and I had no idea.
Who?
Tell me who. Off the air.
Yeah.
I will tell you off the air.
I'm going to do it.
I will. I don't know that you know him, but yes, absolutely.
That's a ridiculous thing to get that bad.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more when it blindsided me.
Really?
Yes.
Michael Orr?
No. Very funny, though. Get it. Yeah, blindsider.
I was going to ask you something, but I forgot.
Good.
Me? Well,
yeah.
Joel.
Is that because Carol Dawson, the old GM of the Rockets, started that? He used to call me that.
And is that
then
right?
And then a lot of listeners thought that it was a negative, got into it, and thought that that would actually ruffle my feathers when it's been there, done that.
I was just comparing you to Embiid, MVP candidate. I thought it was a compliment.
No, he's Joel Embiid, and I am Joel Indeed, as my boys I hoop with on Saturdays would say.
Ah.
Like Indeed, because you're a cone on defense.
That three's going in. Indeed it is.
What's the BK big three right now? That's what I was going to ask you. And I know it's off topic now, but your BK big three NBA draft.
Oh, my big board?
Yeah.
Jabari, Paolo.
Okay.
Chet.
That's
two
blinkers.
And three is where there's the difference. All three of us are in agreement with Jabari number one.
I don't feel like there's much of a difference between one and three. What's coming up on the wheelhouse?
Cody's not here.
What?
Again?
What?
I was sworn to secrecy. I can't say why. So it'll be
you reveal Jake Odorizzi, or for 24 to 48 hours later, will you give us some kind of a medical?
Boy.
Have mercy if I need a stretcher for a sprained foot.
Have mercy on the stretcher.
My goodness.
Never mind.
So no Stooch. We'll be listening. Thanks, Brendan, for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.